Welcome to the Ultimate Lifespan Podcast with Buck Risby, bringing you the latest in evidence-based but often controversial approaches to natural health and wellness with less stress. Plus, healthy advances for slipping into your ideal weight while looking and feeling younger than your years. Sprinkled with surprising stories, expert interviews, and plenty of irreverence for the status quo. If you're ready to take charge of your health and finally feel in control, buckle up and enjoy this next episode of Ultimate Lifespan.
Hey folks, Buck Risby here. This episode of the Ultimate Lifespan podcast is entitled Virtual Book Burning and the Case for Health Freedom. And the story starts with the attempted publishing of a book by a well-known former New York Times reporter, an investigative reporter. He is a Yale grad, Twitter blue check, and I don't know if you're familiar with blue check. I had to go look up what blue check means exactly. And a Twitter blue check is someone that has an account of public interest and is known to be authentic, so authenticated by Twitter. And I understand he had a career with the New York Times spanning over 10 years as an investigative reporter. So his name is Alex Berenson, and Alex attempted to publish a book recently titled Unreported Truths About COVID-19 and Lockdowns, Part 1, Introduction and Death Counts and Estimates. Now, that sounds like a very innocuous title, but what happened was very quickly after he submitted the book to be published on a well-known platform, in this case, the platform is Amazon.com, and Alex wanted to get his book out into people's hands very quickly, so he attempted a digital distribution as well as a printed distribution of the book. And they were both slapped down immediately. He got an email from Amazon.com saying, sorry, this does not meet our guidelines. Have a nice day. And he was very frustrated about this. Now, you might think, well, that's not a big deal. He can go get it published somewhere else, right? Well, Amazon.com, you know, as many of us know, was originally started out as a online distributor of books originally, and they were known as the world's biggest bookstore online. Now you can buy anything on Amazon, but one of the things they became very good at was dominating digital distribution of books via the Kindle platform. So now if you want to get a book in someone's hands right away, if you're not on Amazon, you effectively don't exist. That it really comes down to that. I mean, I know there are other platforms like Apple Books and some others, but by and large, look, we all have a Kindle, right? You're probably shaking your heads. Yeah, okay, I have a Kindle too. So Alex being banned from getting his book out on the Amazon platform, you know, vented his frustration. And before I get into the rest of the story there, you may have heard of this, but, one thing that is important to note is that, you know, big tech right now controls a number of facets of our lives when it comes to information that we have access to. And that includes Amazon.com, Facebook, Google, right? Those are big three platforms that control what information we have access to. So when it comes time to where would you go to seek a second opinion, that's not influenced by politics, big tech, or big pharma, well, you know, oftentimes people go to search engines or they go to books, right? But unfortunately, Amazon, Facebook, Google, they control that information. So if you're looking for a second opinion on anything, you are subject to a type of filter. Well, what kind of information might you seek? Well, you might seek information on how to steer clear of a stroke or heart attack. I'm talking about, you know, health information here. How to boost your immune system and maybe make yourself less susceptible to viral infections. You might look for information on how to not gain weight and get better control of your blood sugar, maybe avoiding diabetes. You know, that kind of information is something that you would like to, yes, you might go consult with a mainstream medical source, your doctor, a book put out by a well-known publisher, maybe some source of information that has been given the seal of approval by the CDC or, you know, some source approved by a government agency. But you also like to know that you can go and get information elsewhere. You like to have dip and dive into all facets of information so you can make an informed, educated decision about how you're going to approach your health. And what's interesting is that, you know, we've known about these kinds of problems. I call them conflicts of interest. We've known about this in the area of finance for decades. When it comes to financial advisors, there is this thing called a fiduciary and a non-fiduciary financial advisor. Someone that's a fiduciary financial advisor, that's someone that in theory has no conflict of interest. You know, they must disclose if they do have a conflict of interest. And oftentimes, quite frankly, even if they do disclose that there's a conflict, that's not enough to make them truly a valid fiduciary. That's someone that's really has your best interests in mind. Someone who's a non-fiduciary when it comes to financial advice is someone that maybe gets a commission. They get a commission from whatever investment, whatever mutual fund, you know, that they're directing you to. And they may think in their heart of hearts that they're giving you the best advice, but the bottom line is there's still some bias that they have because they are receiving some kind of, it could be direct monetary or it could be an indirect benefit that they receive as a result of making that recommendation. So in the financial space, fiduciary, non-fiduciary relationships, very important that you know that you're getting advice from a fiduciary or a non-fiduciary and that you're making your decisions appropriately as a result. So getting back to the story here about this virtual book ban. So Alex Berenson wrote that book, The Unreported Truths About COVID-19 and Lockdowns, Part 1. And he got that notice saying, sorry, friend, but this does not meet our guidelines. And the good news is because he's a Twitter blue check and he's been a New York Times reporter, been an investigative reporter, has a lot of connections, people pay attention to him. He had a megaphone. Thank goodness, because he put it out there on Twitter and he got the attention of a number of people, including Elon Musk. Now, a lot of us know Elon has a big mouth and he has a huge megaphone on Twitter. So when he heard that Alex was having problems getting a book published, he threw out a tweet, a very short and simple tweet saying, Amazon.com should be regulated because it's a monopoly or something like that. I don't have the tweet in front of me, but effectively he said, Amazon.com is a monopoly. Something needs to be done here, right? And for all intents and purposes, Elon is absolutely correct. Because when it comes to digital distribution, just like when it comes to searching for things on a search engine, Amazon.com is the king. They are the king of the hill. And eventually something is going to happen as a result of that. But right now, they have control. If they virtually ban your book from digital distribution, effectively, you do not exist. If you don't exist on Kindle, you effectively don't exist. So that was interesting because very shortly after that tweet came out from Elon's Twitter account, Alex received an email from the head of Kindle Publishing saying, hey, Alex, sorry about that. We've decided to go ahead and publish your book. No harm, no foul. Good luck. Have a nice day. And so what happened here was that Alex's book became the beneficiary of something called, it's kind of well known now, something called the Streisand effect. I've talked to my wife, Diva, about this. And I think the story goes that Barbara Streisand had a piece of property on, maybe it was Malibu, and there was a picture that was published by some reporter of her property, and she didn't want it to be published. So she brought attention to that fact by having her attorney sue the owner of the photo and trying to get it prevented from being published. And because of that suit, she got so much attention on that picture that everyone suddenly became aware of it, and she got more attention placed on the publishing of that photo. So as a result, I think there's this term called the Streisand effect, where your attempt to silence or quash something actually brings more attention to the book. So now Alex was the big beneficiary of the Streisand effect. Everyone became aware of his innocuous title that had that didn't even have a graphical book cover on this, just a very simple title on a white background, Unreported Truths About COVID-19 and Lockdowns Part 1, Introduction and Death Counts and Estimates. And that book now has over 1,000 reviews. I think it's something in the 4.7 to 4.9 range from a review rating. And, you know, God bless him, because Alex did a great job. I read the book. It's actually a booklet. It's very short, to the point, well-researched. Yes, he has a bias. He indicates his bias, but it's all based on facts, right? And I would never, independent of which way the book is leaning, whether it's kind of pro-lockdown or against lockdown, that I would still want to read the information and get someone's perspective on this. And I think you would too, which kind of brings me to this notion of the virtual book burning. And yet, yes, there was a good news ending to this because Alex got his book published, but it reminded me of an experience that I had as a kid, as a book that we were all told to read when we were in maybe middle school or early high school, called Fahrenheit 451 by Ray Bradbury. And I'm sure you've heard of it, probably read it. There's a movie recently reproduced on that title, Fahrenheit 451. But it just reminded me, oh my goodness, I remember that book. I want to go back and reread the book, or at least go and see if there's another movie that's been produced on that. Well, it turns out there was a movie, the original movie produced back in 1966 by that title, Fahrenheit 451 is available. And I sat down over the weekend and watched that with my entire family. My wife, who was born and raised in Lithuania, she had never seen or read the book or seen the movie. My kids, certainly, my younger kids have not seen the movie or read the book. So this was a great opportunity. It was a lesson on, gee, what would life be like? And this is obviously a dystopian tale of life in the future where books are banned and not allowed and they're burned. And I would encourage you, if you don't have time to read the book, go back and watch that 1966 movie. It's available on Amazon, believe it or not, but it's also available on some other sources where you can bring it on digital streaming. And just remind yourself the importance of having access, no matter who wrote it, no matter what their position is, and what the impact of having access to that information would have to your personal freedom, whether it's your health freedom, your financial freedom, whatever freedom that you want to have, that you want to have access to various perspectives and be able to make an informed decision yourself, okay? That's why they call, when you consult with a medical health practitioner, that's why they call getting a second opinion so important, right? It's not like, oh, they're a doctor. They have education. You have to take what they say as gospel and do it immediately. Okay, doctor's orders. No, there's actually something called a second opinion. Okay, and it's something that, let me get into my next section here, which is I'm going to share with you, I think it's five steps that everyone should go through in order to protect and implement their own personal health freedom. And step one is never just accept as gospel an opinion from someone who has a conflict of interest. I talked about that, conflicts of interest when it comes to financial advisors and fiduciary and non-fiduciary. I don't know that there is a specific term that they use for a health practitioner that has a conflict of interest, because I'm not familiar with that term. I do know that certain clinical studies that are run are supposed to be published in peer-reviewed journals with indications of if there is a conflict of interest, and usually that's down at the bottom in the footnotes. But when it comes to an individual giving a recommendation to you, a health practitioner, you know, you have to determine that on your own, usually by, you know, doing some fact-finding on your own or hopefully asking the direct question and they answer it truthfully, all right? But what the problem is when it comes to health practitioners is most of the time the bias is completely subconscious. They're not aware of it, right? They don't know. They'll say, no, there's no bias here. I'm not conflicted. If they went to a medical school that receives funding from big pharma, from big corporate interests, they are subconsciously biased and there might be a conflict of interest. If they're a doctor that receives some kind of free training that's funded by a big pharmaceutical company, that is a type of conflict of interest. They may not receive direct funding or cash payment for making a recommendation of that pharmaceutical company's drug, but you know, they got some side benefits. Maybe they had lunch bought for them by the rep. I remember my mom is a retired medical doctor, and I remember us taking trips and going to Hawaii on a chartered commercial flight to Hawaii to go and attend a training conference being put on by a big pharma organization. And I'm sure I haven't spoken to her about this, but I'm pretty sure that she received that compensation because of her support for the drugs that were manufactured by that company. And she very likely prescribed those medications. Now, did she feel that she was doing things that weren't in the best interest of the patients? No, right? But, you know, it happens. So that's step number one. Step number two is I want you, and I'm recommending this, I'm saying, you know, obviously take my advice with a grain of salt. I want you to become dangerous on the subject that you're seeking out information on. That means seek out books, podcasts, articles, interviews from non-traditional sources. Well, what would traditional sources be? Well, a traditional source might be anybody, unfortunately, that takes money from big corporations in the form of advertising, in the form of some kind of influence, maybe money's being donated, et cetera, right? So if any kind of financial incentive is there, either direct or indirect, you want to look for another source, right? So I would say a non-traditional source. No ties to big food, no ties to big pharma when it comes to your own health freedom, all right? But seek out books, podcasts, articles, and interviews from these non-traditional sources. And number three, always ask, why can't I solve the problem that I'm trying to address without drugs or surgery? Why can't I? Maybe that should be ingrained in your brain. And if you go back and look at another episode that I have on how homeopathy saved my brain, that's a great episode where, you know, my wife and I asked that very question. Why can't we solve this brain injury problem without drugs or surgery? Because both of those were being prescribed to me. Okay. Drugs and surgery were both prescribed to me by a healthcare practitioner that, you know, felt that she was doing what was in my best interest. So that's number three. Number four is, you know, have you addressed your own, I'm going to call them fuel issues. Have you addressed your own fuel issues first? Well, I'm an instrument rated pilot, and I know how important it is to make sure that the fuel is that goes into my aircraft is high quality, high grade, clean, free of contaminants, free of water. Because if any of those things is not true, I'm not going to stay up in the air very long, right? I'm going to come down very fast. And that is true for you too. So I'm going to say, look, if you're trying to address whether it's brain health, heart health, trying to get your blood sugar under control, whatever it is, if that fuel issue is not addressed, it's going to be very hard to find other solutions to that problem. So one place I'm going to ask that you check out is the Weston A. Price Dietary Guidelines. You can Google it, Weston A. Price Dietary Guidelines, and they have a great list of dietary guidelines that anyone can follow to improve their overall health. And as an adjunct to that, I'm going to say, you know, buy, if you at all possible, buy from local farmers. Get your dairy, get your eggs, get your meats, grass-fed meats, get them from local farmers, and that's going to serve you well. And the final fifth step in the five steps I'm recommending, find yourself a non-conflicted health practitioner. There are a few sources for that I'm going to recommend to you. One is check out the Institute for Functional Medicine. I'll include links to these resources in the show notes for this episode. The Institute for Functional Medicine, that's where you can find MDs, naturopaths that are committed to finding a holistic approach to solving your health problem. Okay? Every solution is not a drug or surgery. So every problem, excuse me, is not a drug. It does not require drugs and surgery, and quite often a doctor will have to look at, or a natural health practitioner will have to look at the totality of what's going on in your life, with your diet, with the rest of your body, and that's why folks that are available through the Institute for Functional Medicine might be a great opportunity for you to finally address the problem that might have been nagging you for years. Another great resource is one that my wife is a member of, which is the National Association of Nutrition Professionals. My wife is a certified holistic nutritionist. And when I talked about getting your fuel under control first, that's a great place if you want to get some help, some consultation on how to do that the right way. You know, one great way, as I mentioned to you, is to go check out the Weston A. Price Dietary Guidelines. But if you'd like some coaching, if you'd like someone to kind of look at what you're doing, look at what you're eating, you might think you're doing just fine, but they might, you know, just through a couple of sessions, help you figure out and make some tweaks to your lifestyle that would have a profound impact on your life. And the third and final resource I'm going to share with you is the one I tapped, actually my wife tapped for me, which is the North American Society of Homeopaths. I did that to find the homeopath that helped save my brain. And homeopathy can be used to treat a wide variety of conditions and health issues. I happen to use it for my brain injury, but there's a lot of other things it can be used for. So those three things, the Institute for Functional Medicine, National Association of Nutrition Professionals, and North American Society of Homeopaths, those are three great directories, if you will, where you could find a non-conflicted health practitioner. But you can also find them by becoming dangerous on the subject, seeking out those books, seeking out the podcasts, checking out the articles and the interviews from those non-traditional sources. If you are only going on mainstream media, if you're only looking at, you know, well, when I say mainstream media, I mean the news outlets that receive their advertising dollars from big corporations, including drugs and big food, okay, then you need to look elsewhere. So whether that's watching TV, going online, or reading a newspaper, you know, whether it's physical or online newspaper. And, you know, this is going to serve you well. It's going to open your eyes, and it's going to help prevent some of the big tech platforms like Amazon.com, like Facebook and Twitter, which are now putting, you know, little indicators and badges on pieces of content that may disagree with what, you know, government or traditional medicine believes is the right approach for your health. Well, I hate to say it, but governments and traditional medicine are under the influence, right? They are conflicted. And I want to make sure that your good health, that your health freedom is running unfettered. So that's what I had for you today in today's episode. I hope you enjoyed it. I would love to get your feedback. Write me back here at buck@ultimatelifespan.com. I'd love to hear from you. You can check out the show notes for episode 7 and get the links to those resources that I shared with you. And I'll see you next time. Bye now.
Thanks for joining us today on Ultimate Lifespan. Head on over to ultimatelifespan.com for full recaps of every show, our controversial but educational blog articles, and to take our ever-popular 30-second health assessment quiz. See you at ultimatelifespan.com.